Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young to be sitting on the edge. Too young to be on the bridge. You're too young.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Jack Tatar, author of Safe for Retirement, The Keys to a Safe Retirement. After experiencing deep personal tragedies, Jack Tatar, one of the world's leading market researchers, examined the realities of retirement, and what he discovered is that many people are thrust into retirement. They're not equipped to handle the new aspects of their life. His book, Safe for Retirement, The Four Keys to a Safe Retirement, defines his strategy of thriving safely in retirement. The book is unique in its ability to explore retirement beyond just the financial aspects, as most current retirement books do, and it takes a holistic view to retirement. In his book, Jack explains that being financially prepared is only one aspect of making a safe transition to retirement. The four keys that he outlines are financial preparedness, health and wellness, mental attitude, and, as he has proven, staying involved. Jack is an experienced speaker and presenter who was also a successful financial advisor with a major brokerage firm for nearly a decade, so he can knowledgeably talk about complex financial topics as well as those other important holistic aspects. So I would like to welcome you, Jack.
Thank you, Dr. Erica. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so much.
And I always like to begin by asking my guest to please tell about your own background. Like, what kind of background and training did you have, and what led you to write your book at this time?
Well, you did a nice job, actually, of giving me a nice introduction there. But I guess probably the way to kind of start this is, you mentioned that I was a financial advisor with a major Wall Street firm for nearly a decade. So I was very much involved with the financial aspects of investing, retirement, things of that nature. I actually, for the last decade, I've been running a market research firm. We're the kind of guys, my company is the group that goes out there and we speak to people in focus groups and surveys. We do work for a lot of the large companies out there. And over that time, I've spoken to literally thousands of investors, retirees, pre-retirees, financial advisors about many topics, including retirement. So I had a wealth of information about retirement, but I never intended to write a book about retirement. It kind of fell to me when I, as you mentioned before, personal tragedy. I lost both of my parents within a six-month period, and in my grief and in dealing with my grief, I started to look at their lives and what they were doing in their lives, and what grew out of it was a mixture of what I learned from their lives and a mixture of what I've learned about retirement and retirees in general. And the book Safe for Retirement grew out of that. And essentially what I realized in looking at the literature out there about retirement is everything about retirement right now that you go to the bookstore, it's all financially based. There's, when you look for a retirement book, it's in the financial section. Well, what I learned about my parents and from the research is retirement is so much more. It depends upon your health, your wellness, your ability to maintain a positive attitude, and most importantly, your need to stay involved and be involved and interact with others. And these are lessons I've learned from my parents' experience as well as from the research in working with investors and retirees and pre-retirees that comes into the book and ultimately led me to write this book.
Now, it's really interesting because I took an early retirement from my position as a professor of health and physical education. And I remember when I went to some of the meetings, they did mention that there are other issues besides the financial. And I thought, oh, I wouldn't be concerned with any of those. But right after not being a professor anymore, when I moved to Florida and I went to get a credit card for one of these, like an Office Depot card, and it asked me, what do you do? And my first reaction was, I wasn't a professor anymore. I had always been a therapist part-time, but I really identified as a professor. And it was so hard to not know who I was.
Right. It's very true. I mean, retirement has been viewed by society and by the literature out there as almost an end point, kind of the end goal. And the reality is we've never really been taught how to transition into retirement, what we need to consider going forward into retirement. And I think that's very, very important, understanding that the transition into retirement is a very, very critical one. You talked about having this role prior to retirement. All of a sudden you're in retirement and you're like, well, who am I? What am I doing? Type of thing. And that can lead to a lot of problems for people. As we leave routines and go into retirement, if we don't keep certain routines, they cause us health issues, they cause us social issues, things of that nature. I mean, something as simple as maintaining the routine of when you woke up for work and now in retirement doing the same thing, but maybe incorporating exercise into it. It's very important to understand that the elements to transition into retirement need to be there, and you need to take a look at all of these different factors.
Well, one of the things that I have noticed is people retire, particularly men. A man who's had a business or worked at a company for 25, 30, 45 years, some long amount of time, and the wife was used to being at home by herself and doing her own thing, and then the man retires and he's around the house all the time. And it can go either way. The woman can retire or they could both retire and just be there together all the time, which they didn't have to do before.
Right, and we all know stories like that. We all know stories about where, you know, the wife was home and all of a sudden she's stepping all over the husband who doesn't know what to do and doesn't know his place anymore. And what ends up happening is there becomes fights, discussions, and things of that nature. And what I advocate for people, that's another point to discuss in terms of the transition to retirement. You need to understand, you need to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to retire. That means I'm going to spend this time home now. And when you take a look at it, you talk to people and you say, did you talk about this situation before you retired? What I found is most people said, no, we didn't. And the fact is, if you spoke about this, then you'd set up certain guidelines, you'd set up certain differences between what the husband's going to do, what the wife is going to do, that's going to make for a much more fulfilling relationship between everybody, as well as everyone can kind of go about their business and do what they need to do and ultimately live the dream that they've all dreamed about. But it's a very, very important thing. We all have seen stories about these types of things. And if they're addressed early on in the discussion prior to retirement, what we've seen from the research is that tends to make for a smoother transition for people into retirement and people living together in a stress-free manner.
I think that there's too many things that we do in that same way. As you're talking, I'm thinking about when couples want to get married. They don't always sit down and really talk out the issues and what it's really going to be like because they're so focused on, I don't want to be single anymore and I'm going to have this person now. So it's the same thing. You've had a job or your own business and you retire without thinking of what it's going to be like to retire.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the things that has become very, very important for me, and I've been doing a lot of speaking around this topic, is I'm really trying to encourage younger adults and essentially the children of retirees to sit down with their parents before they retire and have a discussion, what I call the talk with their parents about retirement. And it's not just about it's something that I'm really focusing in on. I'm taking a look at this for my next book. But the reality is at some point in time, you're going to have the talk with your parents, but invariably what ends up happening is it's at the end of their life. And what ends up happening is somebody is involved in it with less mental capacities. Maybe it's an elderly parent who's not thinking as clearly or whatever, or maybe it's a child who's got certain expectations of what they're going to get or whatever. So the later you have that discussion, and you will ultimately have that discussion, the later you have the discussion, the worse it can be. So what I'm advocating is that people do this during the transition to retirement. It's a multi-generational discussion. And it's not just about finances. It's not just about estate planning. It's also about, what are you going to do with your time, Ma, Dad? What are you going to do in terms of your health? You know, I need to see everything that is you're doing with your doctors. I need to see that you're doing some sort of an exercise program. I need to see that you're doing some sort of volunteering or being involved. These types of things, these types of discussions, I think, need to happen. And the children of retirees can really play a real role here. And what I found in speaking to retirees, more and more, and the younger retirees are more and more open to this. They're like, okay, I'd rather my children know everything, and I'd rather them know what's going on in my life than keeping it secret, because at some point the secrets are going to be gone, and better to do these talks earlier than later.
It's interesting what you're saying. It's like bringing back the family communication in all different ways. This is just one more.
Right. And in fact, if my experience can play into that at all, I hope it does. I mean, I was very, very close with my parents. I love my parents deeply, and we were very, very close. And when my mom retired, the only thing I ever said to her was, Ma, just don't collect anything. And that was all I said to her. And as I saw how they went through retirement, I really wished I had had more of a discussion with them. I had pushed them more on their health. I pushed them more on being involved and things of that nature. And I think they would have welcomed that discussion and welcomed my involvement in that. So it's something that I bring into it. I really feel very strongly about it. And I'm hoping that this can help, once again, as I mentioned, for this transition into retirement.
Well, some people don't know that they can get involved in activities, and they can get insecure about it, because if they had a secure position where they knew everybody there for a long time, then to suddenly have to go out and meet new people and do new activities can be hard. It's a lot easier for people who have these activities all through the years while they're working.
So, yes, absolutely. And a lot of times people can look at what they were doing when they were working and maybe continue some of this. There are people who, you know, maybe on every Wednesday they get together with the people they used to work with, or they kind of continue some of the typical meetings that they were doing. And they start to get involved with organizations, or somebody mentions some organization, or they bring up some interest and somebody says, hey, this might be good for you to be involved in, or things of that nature. So your existing friends that you had before retirement can also play a role for you once you get into retirement.
All right, so I guess this is a good time to ask you, what are the four keys to a safe retirement?
Okay.
Right,
and as I mentioned before, most retirement books and most of the focus for retirement is on financial and being financially prepared. And without a doubt, and once again, as I mentioned, I worked as a financial advisor for almost a decade. Without a doubt, you have to be financially prepared for retirement. But being financially prepared doesn't mean that you just know what your number is. It means that you need to be very active in managing your finances and also planning for changes, planning for pitfalls, planning for things that are going to happen. And a lot of that is talked about in the book. The second aspect of retirement, which is the second key, And as I mentioned, there's four aspects to it. It's not just about retirement. The second aspect is taking care of your health and wellness. And so much of that is around, I know, things that you bring up through your website and through your work around trying to keep people healthy and taking a look at their wellness and what they need to do to really focus on that. Because we all know that old adage that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. Well, it's certainly true, and it becomes even more important in retirement as we have to deal with an aging body. So that's something that needs to be taken, needs to be considered, and you need to build a focus and almost a plan around how you're going to take care of your health and wellness in retirement. The third key is mental attitude, and mental attitude becomes very important because it's all around trying to keep a positive attitude. You're going to lose friends and family in retirement. And it's learning how to deal with these types of things and also learning how not to be that grumpy old retired person, but how to really enjoy everything that life throws at you. That's a real key part, and that's what I talk about in the third key, which is mental attitude. And the last aspect is this very, very important point, which is staying involved and just interacting with people, volunteering, being part of the community, building a community up around yourself that you can use for, that you can almost lean on for support as things go on in retirement. So those are the four keys. I outline in a lot of detail in the book how to get involved with each of these, how to put a plan together, and what resources are available for people out there around each of these four different aspects.
Well, something that you said about building a community around you, I've done a lot of research on centenarians and super centenarians, and one of the key factors is that they have a community. They have family and friends and people supportive of them. They're not all alone and isolated.
Right,
and they have
right.
a positive mental attitude, and they keep being involved, all of that.
Right. It's very, 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 very true. In fact, when I first started looking at writing the book, one of the things that I looked at was why, because my mom died 6 months after my father, and so many people said to me, oh, that happens, that's common. And I said to myself, well, why is that? Why is that so common? And when you take a look at the research, it does bear out. And in fact, what's interesting, and to the point you mentioned about community, is that there are people who are resilient, who can deal with that type of thing. But they are typically people, and they're typically women, actually, more so than men, are actually more resilient after the death of a spouse. But the reason that they are is because they've got a community around them. In fact, a number of people almost play out the grief that they're going to have by seeing what others have gone through. So leaning on a community for support helps you through tragedies in your life, and the research has borne that out. The reality is those people who lose a spouse, if they have a strong community and strong interaction with others around them, they are able to be more resilient than those who don't, and invariably what happens is that spouse will die soon after the other spouse. So the key there is to really have that community and to have people around you that you can lean on for support.
It also seems to help to have friends and a community that are different ages, because I have seen with people as they're aging, if all their friends are the same age, they see a lot of death, a lot of illness.
Yes.
And death, you know, and that can be
right.
painful. And if you have some younger friends around you, if you can do that.
Right. I think that's a great point. In a lot of the groups that I've met with and people I've met with and a lot of the senior centers that I've been involved in, they're trying to do as much as possible to involve different generations together. I know my son is 16. He actually has a little business for himself of going out and working with seniors to help them with technology and to get their iPads up and things of that nature. So that's one way that we're seeing more and more this intergenerational connection. But just to talk about social media allows people to connect with different age groups as well. In fact, in Facebook, the fastest growing segment of new Facebook people are seniors. And seniors are getting on to connect with their friends who are their age, but also family members and other people in the community who are at different ages. And we found that people tend to think, well, they feel younger, they feel more involved. So social media can really play a part as well in terms of getting these multi-generational and these different ages for people to be involved with.
Well, social media can also help if you're in a wheelchair or you're really infirmed in some way and you have to stay in the house. You can feel connected through social media.
Yes, yes, yes. But we also need to be very careful, too. And we unfortunately have seen this with some people. I've heard anecdotes about people who have become so involved, elderly who have become so involved in social media, they don't go out, they don't exercise, and what ends up happening is it becomes detrimental to them rather than beneficial. Those people who can't get out, it does help them, but it's always important to maintain the face-to-face communication, the ability to get outside, don't get just sit inside, but to get out and be involved in the outdoor world and be involved with as many people as possible in person, not just online.
Absolutely. But I would like to get back to something because even though it's not the only thing, finances, it's pretty important. If you don't have money, it's hard to do anything. It's hard to have a roof over your head. So just what are some pointers about choosing a financial advisor and being financially prepared for retirement?
Well, you're 100% correct. If you don't have the finances in place, the reality is you're not going to be able to retire. To be able to depend upon Social Security to handle all of your retirement is just not a prudent decision for people. You need to have savings, you need to have 401ks, you need to have IRAs, you need to have money put away before you can even think about retiring. And I use a 75% rule, which is basically, I think you've got to think about your income in retirement being about 75% of what it is currently. Now, that's going to require you to have some savings and some money put away. It's also probably going to require that you have some expertise and knowledge about the financial markets and investments in general. Although some people can do it on their own, I advise people to really consider going with a financial advisor. And in the book, I talk about a pretty stringent set of rules when you're looking for a financial advisor, what things you need to consider, because ultimately you want to trust them. You want to ultimately trust them. And the major role that they're going to play for you and your family is as that single point of contact. I mean, if you think about at the end when your estate is being taken care of and your heirs are being handled, it's so beneficial to have one person who you've trusted, who your family trusted, to be that single point of contact, and they know where everything is. They know what your desires and your wishes were, because we hear of so many stories of children or spouses left behind, and they don't know where to start. Papers are all over the place, accounts are all over the place, and it makes it even more stressful during a stressful period of time. So I talk about some things that you need to take a look at in choosing a financial advisor. And trusting them and really going through a real stringent process of finding the right financial advisor. But ultimately, when you do, they can play this very important role of being not only an expert or a point of reference for you in terms of addressing investments and your portfolio, but also being that single point of contact for all of your information should something happen to you.
Well, I'd like to ask, what are the 5 steps to effectively transition into retirement include the financial in that?
Right. Well, the five steps to transitioning to retirement, very important aspects, and they're a bit different from what people have done in the past. And like I say, I think it's very important that people sit down and really do this. And step one is doing just that. Sit down, and what I'd like people to do is visualize what they want their retirement life to be like. I even tell people, do you know of someone whose retirement you wish you had, who you know really did it well? Or is there someone who you know didn't do retirement well? Well, think about that, but then visualize how you want your retirement. And write it down. Talk about your goals, your dreams, and your desired outcomes of what you want in retirement. Step two is then to consider the reality that as great a picture as you, as wonderful a picture as you painted of what your retirement is going to be like, step two is to understand that there are going to be some painful things that are going to happen. Someone close to you may die. Somebody may come down with a life-threatening disease. In there is the thought of making sure that you have that community, that support structure to help you out. Step three is to write out plans. And when I say plans, it could be two or three lines around your financial, your physical, social, emotional, and spiritual growth. I want you to take a look at each of those different areas and write down what you want to happen to yourself in each of those different areas. Step four is to either plan or go and take a trip. Transitioning to retirement means going out and enjoying yourself. So go take that trip. Go do something that you've always wanted to do. It's a very important part of transitioning to retirement. And then step five is when you do come back, take a look at these plans that you've written up and put them in a safe, accessible place. And I'd like you to review them on an annual basis. And much the same way as you're going to do a financial review each year, I want you to go back and take a look at these plans and these thoughts about what your vision was for retirement, what your plan was for financial, what your plan was for your physical, social, emotional, and spiritual growth, and see how you're doing in each of these types of things. This needs to be a dynamic plan that you revisit every year.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I've known several people that retired, and they tell me about it later, and they lasted, I don't know, 6 months, a year, maybe 2 years, and then they just felt like they had to do something, go back to some kind of work, maybe part-time, maybe be a consultant, but they find a way to get involved again. And that may not have been in the plan originally.
Right. And they fall into it rather than just saying, okay, as I retire, this is something I need to do in retirement. And you get a little bit of traction going forward rather than sitting around for 6 months not knowing what you want to do or not knowing what to do. But like I say, one of the steps in there is to really go and enjoy your time. Take a trip. Go do something for yourself. But do that, but also put together these plans and put together what you want to have happen in your retirement.
All right. And then you talk about the 10 joys of a safe retirement. I like that. What are they?
Well, that actually is around my this is actually an area that I've been asked so much, so often, and brought up so much that I've just created a small book around these 10 joys. But let me just tell you what those are. And these are, I think, joys that you should experience in retirement, but also if you do experience these joys, ultimately they'll lead you to a safe retirement. What I mean by a safe retirement is giving you the ability to live longer and happier in your retirement. So the first one is to laugh. We all know the value of laughing and just enjoying life, right? Second one is eat. And that's pretty obvious, but I also talk about maybe making a little more of a ritual around eating. Don't get stuck in eating the same old TV dinner or whatever every night. Making eating an event and something that you can do with others. Third one is to be open. Don't have a closed mind. Be open. Fourth is to learn. Take a look at perhaps learning something that you've always wanted to learn. Fifth one is to look good. A lot of times retirees fall into these situations where they don't care how they look, they don't care how they dress. That's a mistake. Sixth is little things mean a lot. Just making someone laugh online at the grocery store can really mean a lot to yourself and to others. Seventh is follow your dreams. Eighth is an interesting one, make a date with your negativity. We're all going to have negative things. We're all going to feel negative. The time is to get that out of your system and do it quickly. So I say make a date with your negativity. Last two, get close to nature. Nature is very important. The very last one is seek love, be love. Be involved as much as possible with your family and with your friends.
All right. We're coming to the end. Time goes by really quickly. So I would like you to just give some information on how our listeners can get in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Erica. My book is called Safe for Retirement. That's Safe, S-A-F-E, the number 4, retirement, the 4 keys to a safe retirement. It's available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's also available in Barnes & Noble stores. If you go into the bookstore and you don't see it, just ask them for it. They can order it for you. It is available through the Barnes & Noble system. My second book is called The 10 Joys of a Safe Retirement. That one is also available through Amazon.com. And you can also visit my website, which is safe for retirement, the number for retirement.com, and I keep a lot of updated information there about retirement.
Well, thank you, Jack Tatar. It was a wonderful speaking with you.
And it was a pleasure, Dr. Erica. Thank you so much.
So we need to say goodbye for now. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Sign up for my Healing Through Love seminar series, which will be repeated again. It started now, and it will be repeated in the future. And find my Reawakening Love chapter in the book Adventures in Manifesting at createhealinginlovenow.com/manifesting.htm, or contact me for a private consultation or session at drericawellness.com.